Broadcasting in the evening on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk, and in the afternoon on the Mothership AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Monday. Not exactly St. Patrick's Day, but hey, we got dealt a bad card this year. It was on Sunday. But we've always had Dermot Flanagan on to talk about Ireland around St. Patrick's Day. He is kind enough today. Is it a holiday there still on Monday today?
It is bank holiday, so nothing open.
All right, Dermot Flanagan joining us, a lawyer from Ireland in County Kildare now, correct?
Yeah. About 30 minutes outside Dublin.
It takes some time. Congratulations, by the way. You moved out there and you kind of are living that Irish dream of that country home. I've seen the photos, man. It looks really nice.
It might do eventually, yeah. A lot of work to be done, but it's lovely down here. Probably a few years earlier than expected, but, you know, you got to take your chance when it comes.
Yeah. I do also want to give you credit. You were at the Six Nations game. Was this on Saturday where Ireland won the Six Nations again?
I think I'm always talking to you when they're at the Six Nations. Yes, they won the Six Nations for the second time in a row.
Yeah,
it was great. It was a great game, but, you know, finals like that. The last match of the season, when I think they're often like that.
Well, was that you beat Scotland? Was it?
Yeah.
Now, as a man named McNeil, you know.
I know. And they probably could have used you, to be honest.
they've been down a little bit. I love it because we actually now have, I think, it was CNBC broadcast the Six Nations games live here. And so we're actually able to, I've more than enough times on a Sunday morning, I'm there watching the Six Nation game. So.
And I have to track two players. Two players from my son's club just moved to Chicago from the what we call the AIL team, which is our national league, to Chicago on 6-month contracts. So I just heard it. I have to get the names of the two players and have you track them down for me.
I will do my best.
Yeah. I just heard that on the grapevine today. So obviously Chicago's getting a bit of rugby going on. I remember years ago, did Minnesota have the Pigs? That was not a team. And I'm going back 20, 30 years. I know when I was in Chicago, I think we had a game against them. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they were called.
I'm not sure we still have the rugby team here. I know it goes. I will say this: it has become a much more popular sport in the high schools, and there's a lot of colleges that are picking it up. And that's really how you want to build it. I mean, I remember when they brought soccer here, football here. It really didn't resonate until you had pretty much 90% of the kids in this country playing soccer for about 10 years. And then all of a sudden it became a much more, liked sport. So it's picking up here, though.
Yeah, no, it's good. Well, I mean, if it ever does, you got the population for it. But the need to play from five. Five is the time to start. You start playing any older than that and you begin to be afraid to take the hits.
Well, it's Minnesota.
So you got a five-year-old out there at rugby ball, that's when you start them playing.
That's when you get in Minnesota, that's when they put the kids on the skates out there to try to learn how to teach them ice hockey out there. So.
Same thing.
Yes,
same
exactly. Thing. How is Ireland lately? I mean, we always get in this country the annual visit for St. Patrick's Day and stuff like that. But, I mean, how are things overall, would you say, are going in the country of Ireland?
You always start with this question, and I always get boring and tell you the stats to begin with. I mean, it's still on the up. GDP, only 1.9% this year increase. It was to be 3%. It was downgraded. Next year, it's supposed to be 3.4%, and the following year, 3.7%. But, I mean, we're an open economy. I say that every single year I speak to you. We're primarily service industry, primarily high-tech and pharmaceutical. So a slight hiccup we're in the world, America in particular, and we could have another crash. I mean, we're going along. It's great at the moment. One of the wealthiest countries in the world on paper, so to say, one of the most expensive countries in Europe, if not the most expensive city in Dublin. But it's such an open economy that it only takes somebody to hiccup in New York and that'll be it. So that's, you know, it looks great. The forecasts are great. And thankfully, everybody's happy. That's the economy, but it's open. In terms of everything else, population's gone through the roof.
Where are the people? Is it births or is it people migrating?
No, it's immigration. We're dealing with the same with every other country with very large scale immigration. When you have success, you have immigration, and it hasn't produced some of the problems that we see elsewhere, you know, but it is quite extensive. Mm-hmm. To the point, I'm on the board of a school. When you're a local business, you kind of have to, every now and again, you get asked to go on various boards and you have to go on them. Well, you don't have to, but you do it as your duty, really. And one of the schools opened up in Saggart. Now, I think you would have been in Saggart many, yeah. many years ago.
Yeah.
And you would have been hard pressed to find anybody who didn't look like me. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. That primary school has 74% new Irish.
Okay.
So it's 74% either immigration direct or international protection coming into the country.
Like Ukraine?
Well, no, Ukraine is separate. It's a separate category.
Okay.
Ukraine, because it's a wartime refugees, they're a separate category. Now, Saggart has the highest number of Ukrainians across the country. It's almost one for one Irish to Ukrainian. We have closed down a lot of hotels and housed them here. But they're not classed as international protection refugees because it is assumed that they will return home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're treated as a result differently than that. I mean, not there's no better or worse, but they are treated differently. Mm-hmm. And they're treated as if they were almost like we did when the British came over during World War II, when we were neutral and we took a lot of their children in and a lot of their families in. Mm-hmm. Or post-World War II, when we took in a lot of the German children.
Mm-hmm.
So they're treated differently. They're treated on the assumption that when things are better, they will return home. So I don't think the majority of them have the intention of remaining in Ireland, whereas the other factors do.
You know? There's an interesting immigration question that I'm going to ask you, though, because, I mean, Ireland is you have to want to go to Ireland to get to Ireland. It's kind of it's like Rhode Island in the United States. You don't just happen to go to Rhode Island. You have to want to go.
You can't drive here.
You have to go there. So obviously, and you talk about the economy going there. I mean, it seems like what you're not dealing with, what France is dealing with, which is just basically boats coming across the Mediterranean, people getting out there and going in. It seems like it is much more of a selective. I'm going there because there's chances of opportunity and stuff there, not meaning it's necessarily not putting pressures on your system, but at the same time, it's I think a different kind of immigration. Would you not say that?
No, you're right, but they're coming here because they have a family member, or ultimately they think they were going to use it as a backdoor to the UK because they have family there.
Okay.
Or quite frankly, we're probably the most generous social welfare state. One of the three most generous social welfare states in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so they want that. We also, English speaking and probably known for throughout Africa and throughout some parts of the Middle East as being neutral. They don't see us as a threat. We're not involved in anything. So, you know, we're not involved in any of the troubles out there, et cetera. So they find us a safe haven. But it's putting enormous pressure. I mean, no different than any other country. It's mm-hmm. it's put enormous pressure on our housing sector, accommodation sector, health sector, education. It's put enormous strain on it. But, you know, I Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, current Taoiseach, who was over with Joe Biden a few days ago, the way he phrases it is that, you know, there's no limit to our compassion, but there is a limit to our capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And we are bursting at the seams at the moment, which is, you know, I don't know that we're any different than most countries.
You are. I mean, it's you guys, I think, were the first country to open yourselves up to the Ukrainians. I mean, when that whole thing went down, there's a compassion and a kindness within the Irish, which is what I love. I mean, you guys are very practical. It's like, let's take care of these people. We'll figure out the problem afterwards. And I respect the living daylights out of that.
Well, we haven't had any difficulty with them. It's costing a lot of money. That's a lot of some people say that's difficult now because nobody saw the war going on this long.
Yeah.
But I mean, if there's a hotel near my office converted. It was a 5-star hotel. It was one of the largest in Europe, and it's converted to a center for the government took it over for Ukrainians. And I mean, what we do see walking in and out there every day are women and children. And we took a school for the blind that was bombed or closed down in Ukraine. You see a lot of the blind Ukrainians going in there. And a lot of the elderly. So when you see that firsthand,
yeah,
you know, daily, What are you going to do?
You're called being a decent human being, which I'll leave American politics out of that. But all right, so I wanted to bring up something that did catch some news here, which was, and it's not in Ireland, but in Northern Ireland, the leadership change in Northern Ireland. What is going on up there? Because you and I have talked over the years, I mean, especially when they were going to the break from the EU and stuff like this. Is like, what's going to happen with Northern Ireland? You're the only hard border with England and in the EU per se. So what was going to happen? But it seems like the British have really screwed up there in Northern Ireland.
I was in Twickenham the weekend before this one to watch England beat Ireland. Okay. And I was with a mixture of English and Irish, and you know, I but that came, one of them would have been a politician over there, and we had a chat. You can't control what goes on in Northern Ireland. I actually, at this point, I would not say I sympathise that they caused the problem, but nobody can control politics in Northern Ireland. What happened up there in bluntly is that Sinn Féin have taken over the Assembly. They now have control of it. They're no better than the Unionists were. They're not going to achieve anything up there. They're not going to agree on anything. They wouldn't agree on the time of day between them. In terms of the only thing they do agree on, and this is the irony of it, is that Brexit has hurt Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. Sinn Féin want to use that to have an all-Ireland ballot, a vote to see about uniting. The Unionists don't want to do that. You know, Unionists, why would they? But they want to keep the border open while at the same time screaming that they don't want to keep it open. Mm-hmm. Because without their access to the Republic, they would be absolutely screwed economically. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, there is no border. It's just roads leading. Yeah. I mean, it literally, you could walk into Northern Ireland and not even know you walked into it. Most of their trades and most of their services depend on getting into their car and driving to Dublin and working Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Northern Irish number plates arrive down, do the work, and drive back up. Because, you know, Southern Ireland's booming, Northern Ireland not so much. Agriculture, I mean, you could be in one half of a field as a farmer, and it's in Northern Ireland, and, you know, push your cattle down to the second half of the field, and it's in Southern Ireland. I was, I had that very experience. I was, during the shooting season, I was invited up to the border areas for some pheasant. Happy change, but we were walking along, and I met another man walking towards me. He had an English setter. I wanted to see his dog. I was chatting to him, and he informed me I was in Northern Ireland. Oh. We're having a match, you know. So I was like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. it's ridiculous sometimes. But what's happening up there is that the Assembly is dysfunctional. The Assembly is what they refer to as their
legislator.
The legislator. It's a kind of a home rule for Northern Ireland, but it's dysfunctional, and they will not. I mean, I'm not exaggerating to say that they will not find a way to function together. They were shut down for years, and even now they couldn't agree on anything, mm-hmm. absolutely nothing between them.
If Sinn Féin put a ballot initiative off, would it pass in Northern Ireland? Are there more people that were before unification than against?
No. What they want is an all Ireland poll. The Good Friday Agreement said when the majority of people north of Ireland and south want a poll, there would be one and they would vote in it. But the reality is, and this is an interesting one, with the change in our population, we may have a Scotland effect, mm-hmm. where Scotland voted for, you know, to break from the Union, and they were lucky they didn't. And it was a lot of new Scottish. I don't like to call them non-Scottish, or I don't like to call them, you know, non-Irish. I prefer to call them new Irish. You know, they come in here, they're going to be Irish and that, but they don't have the same history. They don't have the same attachment to what we would in terms of United Ireland. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see if we don't have a unification poll in the next 5 to 10 years, what the generation after that would bring.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we're going to have to take a break here. We've got to get a break in. But when we come on back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and talk a little bit as well about, well, it's just life in Ireland and how things have gotten better or worse. We'll get your take on that as well. Dermot Flanagan joining us From the County Kildare, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950 and WCPT. It's the Matt McNeil Show here on your Monday. 952-946-6205. It's our annual visit with Dermot Flanagan, my lawyer friend who's over now in County Kildare, works in Dublin. Kind enough to take some time today to talk about things there. I think you can, once again, it sounds like it's busy. It sounds like the economy is doing well. So, you know, I mean, did that translate into a relatively, you know, and Ireland won Six Nations. So I got to believe the country's doing really happy time right now.
Yeah, no, it is. It's everything's good. Look, socially, politically, everything's always stable here. We never swing too far left, too far right. It's all down the middle. If you want to pick problems, yeah, we got the housing, the immigration, and kind of the world economy. They're always the three things that people talk about, nothing else. But in terms of lifestyle, living, peacefulness, just day to day, get up and go, it's great. It thankfully doesn't vary that much, man. It hasn't varied an awful lot since you were here, and that's not yesterday.
Well, and thanks for that. One of the things that's interesting is I talked to you before we chatted a little earlier today. You know, the life, I don't know if it's new that it's so similar that our country and your country, and I think a lot of countries are similar, how we raise kids, how we do this, taking the kids to school and tests and all these things and in life. Do you think that our cultures or societies are becoming similar, or were they always similar and just because of distance? Now, as I'm looking at you on a camera right now, I'm texting you live as we talk. You're 5 hours away from me at this point, and we're able to do this instantaneously. Do you think that visibility has shown us that, no, we're not really that different?
Oh, we're never that different when it comes to family. I mean, it's just you're a taxi for your kids. You worry about your kids. You pay for your kids. Then you pay for them again. Then you pay for them again. That's it. Nothing about that changes at all. In terms of differences, I would say, you know, one of the beauties, one of the lovely things about traveling is that we are different socially and politically. And I think, you know, not so much morally, but religiously, it's great to see the differences, those differences, but not different when it comes to family. I told you, like I said, I was in London a few weeks ago, and we are so different from the English. And I had the best time of my life there with the mixed. You and I spent time in Germany. You wouldn't say we're the same on a day-to-day basis, how we approach things. But when it comes to things like family, and as you get older and you realize, you narrow down what's important, as you know, or what you can afford to think is important, what you can't afford to think is important, it all comes down to the same thing. So we're not that different, but at the same time, there's enough differences to keep us interesting.
I was talking about...
I don't think the Americans or the Irish think the same way.
No.
But that's part of the beauty of, you know, meeting everybody.
But there's enough familiarity to you that it's easy. And by the way, can I just recommend to everyone, go visit Ireland. It's spectacular. Yeah. It is stunningly beautiful. The food is incredibly underrated. It is delicious there. And everywhere you look is a postcard. It really is just magnificent. You golfed, so you can talk about all the great golf courses they have there. You have, I mean, the nature is out there. It's wonderful. And by the way, a thing that did bring us together, I talked to a mutual friend of ours, Nabla, and we were talking about the kids and how she and I, neither one of us were able to get Taylor Swift tickets. And so it's like, there are some things which are universal. Did you get tickets to? Oh, you did.
My kids are going to see them in London and Germany.
Oh, two.
I because we have friends in Germany who arrange the tickets over there. Because I couldn't get them in Dublin, Helen arranged for them in London, because, you know, as you know, Helen's from London.
Yes.
So she arranged that. I'm very fortunate. I do know somebody who runs all the concerts here. So pretty much if I want them, I can get them. But London just worked out better.
Well, when am I going to be your and one to go see Taylor Swift?
Would you actually go see Taylor Swift?
I would in a heartbeat, man. That woman's got so many songs, it's not funny.
I know it's a terrible thing to say. I know she's a wonderful woman. I've heard it all, but I pretty much wouldn't go to see her if she's playing in the backyard. I'm sorry. I'm I'm a metal fan, as you know. And I know it's a terrible thing to say. I'm not a Swiftie.
but you're not, at least you're not like the Republicans in this country. Holy, I don't know what, yeah.
Well, I admire her greatly for what she's nearly said recently.
Yeah. I did want to also take a quick moment here because I think one thing that I really like about you is you're such a proud Irishman. You talk about one of the things is you've brought back a breed of Irish dog. You talked today earlier, you're trying to bring back on the property you're at traditional Irish trees, which have kind of almost disappeared. I think that is absolutely outstanding that you're working so hard to preserve some of the cultural aspects, which I think get lost in time.
Yeah, the dogs are Irish Water Spaniels, and I want to say a shout out, if she's probably not listening, to a Sarah Zumpf, who's in Minnesota. She is one of the breeders over there of Irish Water Spaniels. Just say that very quickly. The whole thing about coming down country was to get some acres and grow some native Irish trees, do some wilding, and basically just throw a bit back into nature. Yeah, it's a bit of fun, you know, when you get older, a bit of fun. Have it there for the kids, entice them back when they fly the nest eventually, as you know. But yeah, it's. I think that's worldwide now, isn't it? Aren't you doing it the same over there? Everybody's just trying to grow a few more trees and be a bit greener and stick up a few solar panels and get a bit of a wind farm going or something.
It's something that's here in Minnesota. I mean, in places like Texas, you know, you can't burn, you know, they're trying to find, you know, darker coal to burn so they can make bigger and darker clouds on there. But
it's greener and greener here. Thankfully, you know, it's not perfect, but it's a massive drive here and throughout the EU to just do a little bit better. Just try and do our bit.
Well, and I think it does help a lot when you look at, you know, trying to shake like Putin and Russia and all that stuff and get rid of all that stuff by making these advancements. I mean, there is a lot about Europe which I really envy you for, because I think there's a lot of things you guys do over there. Healthcare, you know, environmental stuff, being compassionate people, that's one thing. But I do also, I just want to take, we've got to wrap up here, but the Irish themselves, you guys are brilliant people. I love you guys. And I hope you had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day, and all my best to everyone over there. Dermot, all my best to Helen and the kids. I love them all, man. And when I'm going to, you need to bring me to Taylor Swift. All right. Dermot Flanagan joining us from County Kildare in Ireland. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Chicago, have a good one. We'll talk to you on a Tuesday. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour 2. That's coming up next.